question, who felt uncomfortable? It wasn't me. I didn't feel uncomfortable because I made a conscious choice not to go and drink. I was having a great time with my Red Bull. That they were the ones that felt uncomfortable, and because they didn't like that feeling of uncomfortableness, they then tried to bring me down with them, try and make me feel uncomfortable, try and make fun of me. So again, you may have something like this in your life as well. It could be someone from work where you've got a promotion. Sure, they're at work, you've got promotion. And again, then people start talking about you. Like your co-worker starts talking about you. Oh, brown nosing. Like, oh, how'd you get that? Who'd you have to sleep with? Whatever it is, whatever people say. But again, because you got that. You've gone through certain steps and you've got that promotion where other people are comfortable. Welcome to the Prime Life Project podcast, a place to help you unlock your full potential, both mentally and physically, to become the best version of you. Welcome back to another episode of the Prime Life Project podcast, a place to help you both mentally and physically become the best version of you. I'm your host, Daniel James. And today I was meant to have a podcast guest on to talk about an incredibly deep topic. It's a topic that I've had to do a lot of research into it. It's a topic that I've not really thought much about. I'm not going to spoil it because I don't want you to know which guest it is. But you probably know when I bring him on at a later date. But long story short, it's just me. So on the fly, I've put this podcast together talking about something that I've spoken to my clients about recently. In one of the workshops I do. So again, for those of you that aren't aware, every single week on a Friday evening, I do a live workshop with my clients. And this is one of the conversations I actually had with them about something that I learned a long time ago, before I knew anything really about this mindset, mental health thing. But the thing for me is that's a little bit frustrating, I'm going to say, is that the next time I came on to an episode by myself, I wanted it to be about the sort of journey that I've been on. For those of you who listened to the last podcast with Jeanette, you'll know that obviously I've been going through some stuff, and some people know a little bit more information about that than others. Again, I'm still not going to divulge into too much information into that because I don't really want to. And again, I just don't feel like it's the right thing to do. But I wanted to talk about my journey going through that, because since that conversation with Jeanette, I've really done a lot of reflecting on that. And I wanted to actually share some of the stuff that I'd learnt about that. But I didn't want to just jump on here right now and half-ass it, because that's not really how I do things. Again, people that know me, you know, like to, I take this podcast very, very seriously. It's like my little baby, and I always try and add as much value as I possibly can. So I don't want to come here and just put a half-hearted episode in there. So that was what I wanted to do. So now it's me by myself on the fly. Well, I've still got Mikey here, my boy in the background. I want to talk about this crabs in the bucket analogy. So for those of you that don't know, I actually spoke about this on BBC Radio Nottingham. So me, Mikey, and another guy called Dan Tindall, who's recently just given birth. We're joined by a guy called Aaron. What's Aaron's name? Last name. Aaron Velma. So big shout out to Aaron. So he Verma. So he's the radio presenter from BBC Radio Nottingham, and he invited Mikey on to talk about men's mental health. And then Mikey invited myself and this Dan Tindall on. So we've now created this thing called Circle of Men. So basically, it's just us four men talking about mental health. So that's every single Thursday, unless Aaron's got another pre-booked guest on, at 8 p.m. 8 p.m. 8 till 9. Yeah, we don't know when we're on. Because basically, we did the first episode. It went down so well. Again, we were just meant to be on there as a one-off, and it went down so well. They've actually invited us back to make it a regular thing. Like Aaron's producer, not his producer, but his boss's boss. So again, big BBC person said they went down so well that they want us to come back more regularly. So I actually mentioned this the last time that I was on. So we weren't on last week. We were on the week before about this crabs in a bucket mentality. So that's what I want to talk about today. So this crabs in a bucket mentality that everyone listening to this podcast will have experienced in some way, shape or form, but they may not have actually known what it was. So if you've ever felt happy about something, like an achievement or something like that, but then straight away felt diminished after someone's made a negative comment about it, this thing you've achieved or how you're feeling, and it could be a co-worker, it could be a friend, family member, your partner, something like that, and you're so buzzing about it, like it's something that you personally are proud of, it means something to you. Again, it doesn't have to be something big. Could be something small, but then straight away someone's made a passing comment, or they've given you a look, or do you know what people do? Like that sort of feeling that you just get the sense that they are trying to diminish it in some way, shape, or form. Well, that's this whole phenomenon called crabs in a bucket mentality. Now, this phrase comes from an interesting thing that happens when crabs are put into a small bucket. So if you put one crab into a bucket, it is able to crawl away by itself. However, if you put a bunch of crabs into a bucket and one tries to climb out, the others will pull it back in. But not only that, if that crab then continues to try and climb out, the other crabs will actually try and break its claws to actually stop it from escaping, to basically hinder its progress. So again, the crabs don't know what they're doing, because what then essentially ends up happening is that none of the crabs escape, and they all end up as lobsters, crabs, not crabs. They don't end up as lobsters. Well, maybe. Maybe. Bloody hell. That'd be interesting. I say, the crabs end up as lobsters. Well, transformation. The crabs end up as crabs in a restaurant, or whatever happens with the crabs that are captured. So this is the bizarre phenomenon. Like, you've got this one crab that can escape. It's then trying to escape again, and the other crabs are so blinded by it and are so threatened by it that they pull it down and actually stop its progress. So then no one wins. None of the crabs win at all. So it's like, if I can't have it, you can't have it. Like, if I'm stuck here, you're stuck here. And again, these other crabs are just comfortable there. So they see this crab trying to push itself out of its comfort zone, trying to do better, trying to escape, and they bring it back in. But unfortunately, this mentality is often translated into human behavior as well. And the crabs in the crabs mentality, the crabs in a bucket metaphor, is often like how humans respond when something else around them or someone else around them is achieving their goals that they can't achieve themselves. So it could be anything. So again, I've had this as a personal example of mine when I stopped drinking alcohol. So when I stopped drinking alcohol all those years ago, I've not drank for many, many years. Again, I'm not sure if I've spoken about it on the podcast before. Have I spoken before? But yeah, very. So again, people that don't know, basically really badly beaten up when I lived in America, and I made a decision that I didn't want to be out of control of my body again, so then stopped drinking and have not drank since. But when I then came back to the UK to meet some friends and stuff, they all wanted to go out with me, and I would then go out and then not drink. And then everyone there would then make fun of me for not drinking, because essentially what I was doing, I was highlighting to them something that they couldn't do. Everyone knows that you shouldn't drink that much when you go out. Like, you've got to stay in a controlled manner. Like, they know it's not, you know it's not good for you. You spend a lot of money. You wake up feeling awful. You make bad decisions. Like, all these things. And again, there's nothing wrong with drinking. I'm not one of these people that's anti-drink. I'm not that at all. But again, it's just like everything in moderation. But when people can't moderate it, but then there's me going out, having a great time sober, I'm then highlighting to them something that they cannot do. They would like to do it. I mean, how many people would actually like to go out and be sober and still be able to socialize and have a great time? Most people. But they don't. They don't feel comfortable to do that. So they just fit in and go along with the crowd. Again, like the other crabs. And then this one crab, me, tried to escape on this occasion. Like, they were trying to then batter me down, making me feel uncomfortable. But really, in that situation, who felt uncomfortable? It wasn't me. I didn't feel uncomfortable because I made a conscious choice not to go and drink. I was having a great time with my Red Bull. Like, they were the ones that felt uncomfortable. And because they didn't like that feeling of uncomfortableness, they then tried to bring me down with them, try and make me feel uncomfortable, try and make fun of me. So again, you maybe have something like this in your life as well. It could be someone from work where you've got a promotion. So you're there at work, you've got promotion. And again, then people start talking about you. Like, your co-workers start to talk about you. Oh, brown nosing. Like, oh, how'd you get that? Who'd you have to sleep with? Whatever it is, whatever people say. But again, because you got that. You've gone through certain steps and you've got that promotion where other people are comfortable. People don't want to go above and beyond when they're at work. They want to go in, get the job done with as little effort as possible, and then leave. Don't do any extra, put no extra work in. But if you're that person that has put extra work in, again, you're highlighting things to them. You're making them look bad. You then get that promotion. You then, again, highlighted to them that if they tried harder, they potentially got that promotion. They would have got that pay rise. So again, you've made them uncomfortable. So what they've done is they've tried to bring you down a notch. And it's that classic example, like I've said before, that if I can't have it, then neither can you. So people try and bring you back down a notch. They try and make you doubt yourself. So again, if you've got that promotion, they try and make you doubt yourself. Oh, are you sure you want that? Are you sure you're going to be good enough? Sure you're going to be smart enough? Oh, do you want to work those extra hours? Oh, you're going to have to work with Thingbob now. Again, it's planting that little seed of negativity. And if you're not strong enough in yourself, it can then mentally cripple you. And again, while humans may not physically attack each other like the crabs do, what they do is they try and break, again, by using these words, and again, just how people act. So you don't necessarily have to use words to do this, but the look that people give you, the body language that they give you, the energy that they give you, it can really break your spirits. Like, it can really break your spirits, and it can really knock you and hinder you if you're not so self-assured. Because again, it's very, very hard to be self-assured. Again, myself, I'm sure Michael says the same thing. Like, it's very, very hard to always be confident in yourself, especially if you're stepping out of your comfort zone. You're going into a new area. No matter how much self-development work you do, no matter how much self-believing you have in yourself, again, I've got a lot of self-belief in myself. I always have done, and I always will do. So I always have done, that's a lie. I always have done since I've done this work on myself. Like, I'm very self-assured. I always back myself in any situation. That doesn't mean that little niggling voice of doubt doesn't creep in. The difference is I know how to control it and how to manage it. But if you've got other people latching onto that and then playing on your insecurities, it makes it a lot harder for you to then stick to your word in a new environment, because you're already trying to navigate this new environment. So you're navigating this new environment, and then you've got a little voice inside your head nagging away, and you've got someone else jumping on that voice as well. So again, it's very, very hard here. And again, this crabs in the bucket mentality, like, you see it everywhere, but it's not necessarily a conscious thing. Like, it can also be a subconscious thing. And you see it absolutely everywhere. It doesn't have to be a conscious thing. Remember that. Like, these people aren't bad people. Like, these people trying to hold you back. Like, my friends, they weren't bad people. They're trying to make fun of me. Like, and again, I understand this now. It hurt at the time. Again, it's people who get promotion. They'll say things and it might hurt, but understand they're not necessarily doing it consciously. They don't know. So again, you've got to think about this. So your thoughts, like, when you use words, your words are your thoughts expressing themselves. I'm going to say that again. Your words are your thoughts expressing themselves. So if you've got these thoughts inside your head on a subconscious level, and it's ruminating around inside your head, and then you're saying these words, these words are giving life to your thoughts. It's thoughts expressing themselves. So if in their own head, their own mind. So again, we spoke about this on the podcast when it comes to identity. So you've got your identity, how you truly see yourself. So how these people truly see themselves. So again, their identity: I'm not good enough, I'm a failure, I'm a loser, I'm never going to amount to anything. They've got this identity, these labels that they are wearing on a subconscious level of themselves. That's then going to lead to them thinking a certain way, because they're trying to, that confirmation bias. They're trying to see the world. They've seen this. They're seeing their world through this belief system, through these tinted glasses that they've created. So again, a belief, a thought you keep thinking over and over again. So they've got this negative identity of themselves, which then leads to negative thoughts. They keep thinking a certain way. They then create this belief system about the world, and they're wearing these glasses, this belief system of how they see the world, and then it's expressing itself in the words they're using with you. So it's not necessarily a conscious thing. It's not anything personal against you, which is why you shouldn't take things personally when it comes to stuff like this. It's not necessarily a personal thing, unless it is, and you know if it's personal, because personal kind of hits differently. So I mean, personal, if someone's doing a personal attack on you, you know full well that's a personal attack, when sometimes it's just someone says something, or how they act, or the energy they're giving you, and it may not be a conscious thing. It's a subconscious thing, and it's nothing personal. It's their issue. Again, they're projecting it out onto you. But then you then take it as a personal attack. And it's not always the case. And most time it is not the case at all. So again, they do what they can to hinder your progress, even stop you from trying to succeed. That's essentially what this crabs in the bucket mentality is like. And again, a few examples of this I used here with my clients. Because again, bear in mind, most of the clients that are with me, again, people that know my business model, it's very much focused on the mental health mindset stuff. So again, it's that mindset coaching. It's that life mindset coaching, but the health and fat loss linked in with it as well. So again, whether it's trying to get healthier or with the fat loss. So again, the first analogy used here is that when people are trying to lose weight or get fit and healthy. So that's the example. Like, when you're trying to do that, then you might have friends that say to you, "You look fine. It's okay to indulge. Don't be so boring." So again, these things here, they're not personal attacks. You look fine. Do you know what I mean? That's their personal opinion. They think that you look fine. But again, if you're morbidly obese and say, "Oh, you look fine," again, that's holding you back. That's hindering your progress. Because again, if that saying about the people that you hang around with. So if your friends, if you're, let's say, morbidly obese, so there's a very good chance your friends are going to be morbidly obese or on the higher end of the weight spectrum. So then they're saying, "Oh, you look fine." That's them trying to say to themselves, "Oh, well, if they don't look fine, then it means that I don't look fine." So you're highlighting potential things to them. Or it's okay to indulge. Again, because they aren't strong enough to not indulge. They are weak. They are weak individuals that give in to peer pressure. They give in to social occasions. And because you made the decision that you're not doing that, you're committed to the cause, oh, it's okay to indulge. What they're saying to themselves is, "It's okay for me to indulge." Understand this? And again, don't be so boring. They see this as a boring thing. The thing that you're doing, they see it as boring. Don't be so boring. Again, boring is subjective. So for them, it might be boring. People say to me that how I eat is boring. I absolutely love my meals. Again, I've spoken about this thing before. I eat the same meals every single day. Because for me, there's a thing called decision fatigue. I don't want to have to think about what I'm having for dinner or breakfast. I have 5 meals a day. I don't want to have to think what to have 5 times a day. So I have the same thing every single day. I will have a form of mince. It's either chicken, turkey, or beef. I'll then have a form of pasta, whatever style of pasta that is. I'll then have pasta sauce, whatever style of pasta that is. So there's only things that can vary. The type of mince, the type of pasta, the type of sauce. That's it. And then the last meal before I go to bed is yogurt with a protein powder, whichever one that is, chocolate, white chocolate, raspberry, banana, strawberry, whatever it is, with some dark chocolate. That is it. So there's different things there, but I then don't care. So then it means when I am going out to eat or having something different, then again, I enjoy it a bit more. But I don't mind eating the same thing over and over again. But someone says here, "By the way, I don't get my clients to eat like that." Like, I don't get them to do that. I try and get them to limit decision fatigue, but I don't ever try and get anyone to eat like me. I'm very aware that I'm a unique specimen here. But people say that's boring. It's not boring to me. I absolutely love it and it works. So that's boring to them. And they're basically saying, oh, I couldn't do what you're doing. Okay, well, I'm not asking you to do what I'm doing. I'm doing what I'm doing. So it might be boring to you, but it's not boring to me. Does this make sense? Another example of this is, again, sort of linked into, again, the client topic that I was working on here is, like, when you're trying to focus on personal growth and, let's say, start a morning routine, and then your partner, again, male or female, might mock you for your efforts. Again, not intentionally, but you know that banter that you have in a relationship with someone. So they start to mock you and they remind you how you always fail, or they moan that you're disturbing them first thing in the morning. So again, it's said in jest. It's said as a joke. Oh, you're going to fail this again, just like last time. But again, it's said in a joke. It's a laughing way. But there's some seriousness behind that. So again, that seriousness might actually not be subconscious. That's more of a conscious thing. Like, God, you're wasting your money, your time and your effort again doing this thing because you always fail. So again, that's them actually giving you some truths which you may or may not want to hear. But again, it's different. That's not on a subconscious level. I hope this all makes sense here. I hope what I'm talking about makes sense here. But again, sometimes these comments are intended to be constructive criticism. So sometimes people are saying this stuff, again, like your partner, maybe doing it in a constructive way. They don't almost try and warn you. They don't want you to get your hopes up and then fail again. They're just saying that maybe you're setting your expectations too unrealistically. You're trying to do too much at once. Whatever it is. But often, a person says something negative because they aren't willing to put in the work to change their lives. So that's often the case. Sometimes it is constructive, and it's constructive. If it's constructive criticism, you have to take that on board. You have to. Constructive criticism can hurt. It can hurt a lot. But understand that constructive criticism, if someone's saying stuff to you, even if it's someone you absolutely hate, if your worst enemy says something to you that absolutely cuts you to your core, once your ego has settled down, take a second and analyze what they've said and ask yourself, is there any truth in what they've said? If the answer is yes, then do the work to change it. If the answer is no, then let it go. Because even if something's not constructive criticism, if someone is giving you actual criticism, no matter how they decide to deliver it, if it's the worst criticism you've ever received, if there is some truth in that, you can turn that negative situation into a positive, because someone has literally given you, inadvertently, gold. So if your worst enemy is giving you this absolute showering of abuse about you, this horrible person, you're terrible at your job, because X, Y, and Z, and they turn around to you and say something along the lines of, you can't even send reports off properly. And then it hurts, but then you go home and you're like, what do you mean I can't send reports off properly? And then you speak to your friend, Dave, in accounts. I'm like, Dave, is there anything wrong or anything I can improve on with my reports? And he's like, oh, actually, you know what? Now you've mentioned it, you always actually send it me and it's got this wrong code on it. Like, and it actually creates a lot of issues for me and then I have to sort it out. So actually, if you could just double check before you do it, bam, there you go. So this person that's criticized you has actually given you a golden nugget on how you can actually then improve your life. Then you've taken your emotions out of it and thought about it logically. It's like, oh, actually, okay, cool, I can improve that. You then don't go and tell that person you've done it. You don't need to go and do that. But for you personally, that person, you then turning that horrible comment, that horrible negative situation, and you're then flipping it on its head and turning it into a positive. You're taking that thing there and you're taking that one little nugget to help you improve your life and level up as a person. So again, really, really powerful. But again, just be aware that sometimes when you're doing these things, when you're stepping out of your comfort zone, if you're trying to do something that no one in your family has ever done, again, let's say your family's all overweight and you're genuinely trying to stop this quote-unquote generational curse, this thing where like your whole family's morbidly obese and you're trying to do something about that, understand that you are going to be highlighting their shortcomings and it will be very, very uncomfortable for them. So again, they belittle anyone or mainly you that's trying to do something. So we've all heard that Jim Rohn quote. I'm going to get Mike to pop it up. It says, you are the average of five people you spend most time with. So again, we spoke about this before. So as I just said there, like if you hang around with five people that are morbidly obese, if you're morbidly obese and you hang around with five people, chances are you're kind of all the same. Again, not all the time. Again, if you're a millionaire, chances are you hang around with other millionaires. If you're broke, you hang around with people of the same sort of thing with you. Not all the time, but that genuinely happens to be the case. So understand that if you then are stepping yourself out of the comfort zone, again, you are rocking the boat, you're disturbing the peace. Like the people know how to handle you. When you rock up as a certain version of you, talking about certain things, people can relate to you, they know how to handle that, they know how to interact with you. When you're stepping out of their comfort zone, people then can't relate to you. And again, it can make people feel really, really uncomfortable. But understand, as we know, you can't change people around you. So in that situation, your group of friends, you have absolutely no right to try and make your boyfriend lose weight because you're losing weight. You have no right. You have to lead by example. Again, if you're trying to become a millionaire and set up your own business, you have no right to start making fun of other people. You've got no right to change anyone else and their attitude towards you. Other people and their attitude towards you is none of your business. Okay, you cannot do anything about other people's opinions of you. You can't change them. It's not your right to. You should never, ever, ever go out and try and change someone unless they want help. It's not your job. It's not your role to do that. No matter how much you love that person, you cannot change them. All you can do is lead by example and hope that they get the message and then they try and join in with what you're doing. But what you can do is surround yourself with people that will encourage your personal growth. So that's a key thing here. So if you're noticing that you're trying to level up, so again, I'm using this as a fat loss thing because people will be able to relate to this in some way, shape or form. Again, all your friends are morbidly obese. You're trying to get yourself into healthy habits and routines. You can't then change these people around you. You can't force them to really try and work on these habits and these belief systems they've got around their weight and food and stuff like that. But you can work on yourself and then surround yourself with people that are in line with this new version of you, these new goals. Because again, if you're hanging around with healthy people, good relationships with food, good belief systems, all this sort of stuff, you're then going to sink in with them. You're going to naturally do that. But again, three strategies to help with this. The first one is try and be active in sort of groups. Again, just moving and shifting groups. Like I said there. So if your friends aren't on the same journey as you, just try and surround yourself with people that are on the same journey as you. So again, if you're starting out at a gym, try and interact people when you go into the gym. Again, I understand here's a big sort of topic when it comes to this. I actually did the first topic here was basically being interactive in the groups I've got for my clients. So my clients got different groups. So my point here was be interactive in those groups. But what I'm saying to you guys that don't necessarily have access to that, be interactive with like-minded people in some way, shape or form. Celebrate each other's wins. That's a massive thing there. And then share information. But again, the second one that will be relatable is find local events of things that you're interested in. So again, there's going to be local things and it's a great opportunity to meet new people that are on the same goals as you, and you'll be able to find local classes that will teach you new skills that will help you learn, grow, and also be able to connect with people that are motivating and encouraging. And because of COVID, there's a lot of this stuff that's now online. So if you happen to be an absolute avid lover of blue Lego, there'll be a blue Lego collectors club somewhere that will meet on Zoom and you can then hang around with like-minded people. Now, again, I'm not sure why your friends would try and be a crab when it comes to blue Lego, but you get the point. So again, if you're trying to start up a new business, there will be new, let's say you're a young entrepreneur, for example. And again, none of your friends are entrepreneurs. They all work 9-to-5 jobs. There'll be a young entrepreneur group out there somewhere where you can then just join this Facebook group or maybe a Zoom call or whatever it is, or an actual in-person event where you can hang around with like-minded entrepreneurs and listen to speakers speak. And again, you're going to be leveling up, you're going to be learning new skills, and you're going to be growing as a person. Now, I'm not saying you've got to cut off your old friends. I'm not saying that at all. But understand, if you notice that they're being crabs and they're pulling you back, you have to be aware of this situation and you have to understand that you can't have these people in your life if you're trying to progress moving forward. You can have them there, but you don't make them such a pivotal part of your life. And this is again where you've got to make the decision. Because what do you really want? Do you want these friends that are holding you back? Which then you have to ask yourself the question, if they're holding you back, are they really true friends? Or do you want to become that best version of you? I can't make that decision for you. If you want to hang around with those friends, then that's your choice. And again, no one can tell you otherwise. Again, it's not my place to do that. But if you are really unhappy with where you are in life and you're really trying to progress, and every time you feel like your friends, family, co-workers, parents, partners, whatever are holding you back, you have to make a decision. Do you actually want to be on your deathbed in 50, 60, 70 years time and be like, I wish I'd tried this. I wish I'd done that. There's all these things you see on Instagram where people, again, they worked in hospices and say that the people on their dying, their death wish, the things they said was they wish they'd not listened to other people. They wish they'd tried harder. They wish they'd done this, wish they'd done that. Don't live your life wishing. Again, a lot of stuff has happened with me recently. I'm really having to step myself out of my comfort zone and push myself to do something that I'm going to be super proud of. It's something I should have done a very, very long time ago. And again, it's just for me. It's been something where I've kind of maybe been in a bit of a circle of comfort where I'm really now, I've got no choice. But again, find these local events and things of interest. And again, biggest thing this podcast is all about, self-education. I talk about lighthouses all the time. Use virtual mentors. There are people out there that genuinely have saved my life. The podcast, the reason why I did a podcast, the reason why I started this podcast is because a podcast helped save my life. Two podcasts helped save my life. Again, it gave me information I didn't even know was out there. But again, these things, they're virtual mentors, they're lighthouses, they're going to guide you in the right direction. They're going to warn you of rocks that potentially going to crash into. They're going to help you learn from their mistakes so that you can progress and become that best version of you. So that although you've got this five group of friends, physically, actually there's mentors out there. And these people, genuinely, I felt like they were my best friends. I'd never met them before. They have no idea that I existed, but they fundamentally have helped me set up the Prime Life Project. They've kept me alive. They've kept me in business. They've actually helped me shift shape my business model, moral, and values, and they've got no idea that I exist. They've never met me. But again, because these people are imparting their wisdom and I'm there learning, I feel very connected to them. I can feel more connected to them because I can relate to them because I'm on the same journey they're on. I'm slightly further back on the track, but they're talking to me and I can relate to it. I can get that. I get that more than I do for my friends, more than I do for my parents, because my parents, my brothers, they are not self-employed people. They never have been. So when I'm talking about entrepreneurial stuff, they don't get it. But again, podcasts, these people I'm listening to, they get it. And then from there, you read books. And again, what are books? Books are people's thoughts that have then been put into words. So you're then getting these people's information. You're getting their thoughts. You're getting all of this intellect. And they're passing it down to you. It's there. They're literally guiding you. Do not make these mistakes. Or I made this mistake and I did this. It's all there written out for you. There's podcasts, there's books, there's YouTube videos. And they're all there to help you. And this person is going to be imparting their knowledge and their wisdom to help you learn and overcome your obstacles, whatever they are. Which is why I get all my clients to read nonfiction books. And again, if you watch this on YouTube, see all the books I've got behind me. These aren't even half my books. But again, they're there. I absolutely love reading. Again, I'm dyslexic. I did not read a book from cover to cover, not even halfway through, until I was 21 years old. I have a university degree. I have a university degree and I never, ever, ever read a book because I was using my dyslexia as an excuse. Once I actually understood them, because again, I was reading books I was not interested in, had no interest in at all. It bored me. It absolutely bored me. You could give me the best book in the world, Harry Potter, don't want to read it. Game of Thrones, don't want to read it. I don't care. It does not bother me. You could give me the best book ever, award-winning, multi-award. I will not read it because I don't care. Mikey could recommend a book to me. If I literally look at it, and it's not, again, about poetry. Mikey could turn around and say, this is the best poetry book I've ever read. It'll change your life. I will look at it. I will not read it because I'm not that invested in poetry. You need to understand this. Find what you're passionate about and then read and learn about it. Throw everything at it. That is how you grow. That is how you become this best version of you. That there is something out there. Again, it could be blue Lego. I don't care. Like, just go and find out stuff about it, because people have got the same passion as you and people pass on that information. You can learn, you can grow, and I promise you, you're not alone. And again, it can feel very, very isolating in life when you're stepping out of your comfort zone. You're stepping out of your comfort zone. There's crabs absolutely everywhere. It can be really, really hard, because all these crabs want to do is pull you back in. And again, these could be crabs that you've never even met before. They're just absolutely everywhere. It's like a crab invasion, crab attack. Now, the next thing here, again, I just wanted to touch on and finish on with this, is like setting boundaries. Like, so again, what are boundaries? Boundaries are limits that we set ourselves around what we will and won't tolerate. So we should be able to set boundaries and not feel guilty. A lot of people feel very, very guilty about setting boundaries. And that's the reason why people let boundaries slip. They set these boundaries. I'm going to do this, or I don't want to do this. And then they feel super, super guilty. Again, they create this story, this narrative in their head that somehow this other person doesn't like them, we're going to fall out with them and blah, 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 blah. They let the boundaries slip and they fall back into old habits. So again, why do we let boundaries slip? Because again, you're raising your awareness and you get yourself this amazing place. And then people try and latch onto that. Again, that crabs in a bucket analogy. It can be very, very uncomfortable. You set your boundaries. You start to climb out of the bucket, becomes very, very uncomfortable, and then you get drawn back in again. So then we abandon ourselves to make sure these other people feel okay. Because again, we see these crabs in this bucket, they look really lonely, they look really sad. You're super high up at the edge of this bucket, and you feel bad and feel sad. So then you lower your boundaries to go back into the bucket to then look after other people, because you're a nice person and you want to help make other people happy. So again, very, very difficult with this. And we also want people's approval. Because again, it's very, very uncomfortable. Like I said, it's very uncomfortable. It's very lonely when you're there at the top of that bucket. So again, we want people's approval. We want our partners, our friends to like us, which is why we feel guilty when people want us to come out and or do something and then we say no. Because we want people to like us. And this is the thing. As you go through your journey in life and you're leveling up, you're learning, you're becoming a better version of you, people will expect you to be a certain way. They will expect you to show up as that old version of you, that old self. They will expect you to come up with this dance that they know. Again, we talk about dances on the podcast, things that I learn. Like, you've got this dance. Your friend's got this other dance, and they kind of know you. They know how to deal with you. They know how to talk to you. When you then meet up with them again, they will expect that old version of you to come up. And what you'll do is you'll try and meet these expectations at the cost of this new self. So you're rocking up as this new version of you. These other people feel uncomfortable. So then what you're doing is you'll then give up on how you're feeling to meet their expectations of you, and then you will lose yourself again and slip back into those old habits. And again, especially if you see people every day, it can wear you down, it can wear you down, it can wear you down. Because again, that question is, well, what if they don't like you anymore? Again, it's hard. But in reality, all you do is you end up drained with no energy and no motivation, and then you go back into your old default ways. So again, when it comes to setting boundaries, key things here, set your boundaries. Make it very, very clear what your boundaries are, and then communicate your boundaries. Again, communication is a big thing. Communicate your boundaries effectively. Set your boundaries, then communicate them. Communication is a massive, massive thing, especially in relationships. Again, women, if you're with a bloke, or again, blokes, if you're with a bloke, if you're a bloke with a bloke, you'll know what I'm talking about anyway. But if you're a woman and you're with a bloke, understand, we are stupid creatures. You think that we know, we don't know. You literally have to spell it out for us. Like, you think genuinely sometimes we're playing games. Most of the time we're not. We're genuinely, like, Mikey's laughing because he knows. Like, we are that stupid. So honestly, when you've got these boundaries, communicate your boundaries effectively. Actually put it into the most basic format possible so the other person can't misunderstand or misinterpret what you are actually setting as your boundary. And then the final one, which people miss out here, is defend your boundaries. Once you've set those boundaries, defend them at all costs. Because again, you've set those boundaries for a reason. You've set those boundaries for yourself. So it's important you then need to defend those boundaries. And again, people will want to attack them. People want to try and change those boundaries. You'll say, oh, I'm only going to go out and have 2 drinks. They'll try to say, oh, 3 drinks. They're trying to just change that boundary. 3 becomes 4. 4 becomes 5. They again, so they're, oh, well, you'd normally have 10. So, oh, but 5 is better than 10. Again, you've set the boundary, but you're not defending it. You have to stay strong. You have to defend your boundaries. Again, you've made a promise to yourself. Self-love and this self-growth and this real love of self is when you make a promise to yourself and you stick to it. There's nothing stronger and nothing better when you make this promise to yourself and then you actually stick to it. And that comes down to defending your boundaries. And again, it can be lonely. It can be very, very lonely. I'm not trying to lie and say it's not going to be lonely. But if you surround yourself with the right people, it won't be lonely. It'll be the most empowering, powerful thing that you do. Especially if your entire life you've been living in a crab of buckets and not realised. And these crabs in a bucket haven't realised that they are crabs. Like, and you actually finally escape, it can be super, super empowering for you. I hope you've taken some value from today's episode, guys. And again, don't forget to like and share it with a friend. If you've taken any value from today's episode or think that someone that you know may enjoy it, please like and share it with a friend. Help us to spread the word. Help us grow the podcast. Help us grow the show. Tell as many people as possible. I absolutely love you guys. Hope you enjoyed the show. And I'll see you guys next week.